This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, and welcome back to Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we have special guest, Kelly Chase. Kelly was a contestant on the debut season of the new Netflix dating show, Love is Blind. We talk about dating in the pod, the power of a first kiss, and the surprising reaction she got when she told her mom the show was going to end in a wedding. She's a mindset coach, and her new podcast is called Chase Life with Kelly. Here's our chat with Kelly Chase, Behind the Rose. Hey, Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. So excited to be here.
We've been trying to get this to happen for a while now, so I'm glad we finally were able to pin down a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about and stuff, so I'm excited to get to know what you do for a living. And we'll get into that later, but like, I'm really excited to talk all that fun stuff. So.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I feel like I'm on like a double date with you guys.
Works for me.
You'd only be so lucky.
You would only be so lucky.
So a lot of our listeners know you from Love is Blind, but what were you doing before the show? Like, what was Kelly like before Love is Blind?
I had, I guess probably like a year prior to filming Love is Blind, I had set out on a personal development journey. So I had left my last corporate job that I worked corporate from, you know, when I graduated until I was 30 something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely in like corporate world for like 10 years and just was like super unfulfilled. I had a lot of, I guess just like, now I know what was going on, but like behavioral patterns that like I was constantly like working like Monday through Friday, like in this hustle and grind mode all the time. Like I always worked multiple jobs in addition to my corporate job. Mm-hmm. I got like a health coaching certification back in 2013. So I was like health coaching and like fitness training, doing that, but still like running it on the side. And probably like a couple years into that, I became like a fitness trainer for an all audio-based fitness app. And I just had like a lot of members like reaching out to me saying like, oh my God, you're like changing my life, or, you know, not just like in the like weight and body image, but right, like, oh, I'm like able to, you know, just like have more boundaries and be more in my power in my marriage or in my relationships. And I was just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I need to like lean into this more. I need to let go of the thing that's taking up most of my time, which is my 9-to-5 job, and really capitalize on my health coaching at that point. So that was back in 2017. And like I said, I had been working so much on the weekends. I mean, this was years. I mean, probably since college, I was every weekend, like doing the same thing, the same song and dance, like going out,
wow, yeah,
getting hammered, making stupid decisions.
And then regretting it Monday through Friday, right? And then doing it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like that, like, and I didn't recognize it until obviously, like I said, probably like 2017, I was like, something has to change because nothing's changing if nothing's changing. Like I have to change things. So yeah, like the summer of 2017, I was just like, okay, I'm leaving corporate life. I have enough income coming in that I can like support myself for a while. Mm-hmm. And just really dove into like personal development the beginning of 2018. I read more books in 2018 than I probably have in my life. So started listening to podcasts, because I was in the like online coaching space. That was like the podcasts that I was listening to were more of like, oh, like how to grow your business and like mm-hmm. that type of situation, but empowering and whatnot. And so I just started like investing more into me, my self-care, completely did like a 180 from what I was doing. I mean, it did become kind of lonely though, because like, I'm like, okay, I have my friends that are like still single and going out and partying all the time. And then I have my friends that are like married and having kids.
That's where I'm at right now in my life.
Like, that's where, like, I've always been.
It's one or the other, you know? It's like, yeah, it's a weird.
Yeah. Like I said, it became kind of like a lonely time for me because, and then I started like internalizing, well, do my friends just not like me anymore? Do they not want to hang out with me? Because nobody, like everyone stopped reaching out to me. But when people were reaching out and me telling them like, no, I'm just going to stay in tonight, you know, because I'm going to read. Like, then after a few no's, they're going to stop asking you to do things.
Right.
So
that's incredibly brave. Like, I know there's so many people who are in the same position as you and they just don't have the guts to be like, okay, I'm going to quit a steady job and I'm going to invest in myself, you know, and stop going out and kind of like, yeah, take responsibility of like, you know, like your mental and your physical and all that health. And it takes a lot. So props to you for actually like taking that step, you know, and knowing and feeling like you needed to take that.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I had some savings. I think if I didn't have like some savings built up, then that probably would have been a scarier decision, but.
But yeah, it's the security of a job that a lot of people, like even me, you know, coming off the show, I still worked for 8 months coming off The Bachelorette, and it was still hard, even though I had, you know, I was fine financially. It was still so hard to be like, okay, like I'm just going to like go out on my own and see if I can figure this out. No health insurance, you know, none of that kind of stuff where you have. So it is a hard thing to do. So that's pretty cool that you were able to do that. And then when did you actually get on the show?
Later that same, like 2018, when I had started my whole like journey, it was October 1st, we started like filming.
Because I've always wondered that, because Netflix does it a little different. They like film and then release it way later.
Oh yeah, I know. Wow. I'm like crazy. And not to say we didn't know if the show was ever gonna air, but like we were like, is it ever gonna air? It's been like 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. That's crazy.
Almost 2. It was like a year and a half, really.
Yeah.
So did you have to stay quiet for that long about the details on the show?
Yeah, I mean,
it's gotta be so tough.
My close friend, like obviously, like, so I'm sure we'll get into it, but like the wedding scene, like half of my friends were like in the audience. So they obviously knew what happened, you know, but everybody had to sign like a NDA or whatever it is. Yeah. So yeah, I only told like one random person because I was on a date and the guy like tells me that he just like had broken off an engagement because his like fiance or ex-fiance was like cheating on him. And I wasn't like trying to make light of a situation at all, but I was like, oh yeah, I was recently engaged too.
Yeah. And then he probably wanted to dig into that.
Oh yeah. So he was like, wait, what? Like, okay, so tell me about that. And so I did. And he was like, okay, well.
That would be a funny conversation.
It was.
Yeah. So were you just basically like in the part and you like, cause I know for me, when I went on the show, it was like a good, like the timing was perfect. It was like, okay, like, I'm financially stable. Like I'm happy is where I am. And I love my job, but I like my job, but I don't love it. It was that kind of thing. So you were just in the right time at the right moment. Like everything just happened to fall into place for it. And you were like, you know what? Let's do it. Like, let's go on a reality television show, you know, because that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it was very weird. I never, ever expected myself. I mean, I think every girl out there wants to be like on The Bachelor. But yeah, I just like, I felt like I was in a lot better place in my life to do it. But yeah, they reached out to me and pitched the idea. Honestly, the initial thought was like, I would love to do this to like prove to my friends that I don't just like date model looking guys and I'm shallow as shit, you know, like they know that I'm not, but I think the trajectory, like after dating certain guys and like heartache and rejection after one another, it was like the guys that I was trying to date did have some type of physical attributes. So
well, you're very self-aware, it sounds like. You like, you know, like you're, you know, if you're headed in the wrong direction, you're dating the wrong guys, like you sound very self-aware, which is a huge trait. Like, that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't always self-aware. So. but yeah, I mean, then pitching the show, I mean, that, like I said, that was the initial like thought, was like, oh, I'm gonna prove to my friends. But then after that, I was like, no, this is really cool. Like, this is a really cool concept. Because even like dating apps, like you're still judging a book by its cover. You still are 100%. Like, I don't know, let me swipe.
Yeah. 100%. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, the concept of the show in itself is pretty cool, you know, and then watching it actually play out was super fun to see, because I would be super interested in it, because I also, obviously, I mean, for everybody, the first thing that you notice about somebody is, you know, is physical, but sometimes some of the people that you connect with the most, like you wouldn't be attracted to. So it's kind of interesting to see how it worked out for a lot of people on that show.
I mean, I was honestly surprised, like, knowing myself at the time back in 2018, and like I said, just kind of like the pattern of my dating up to that point, I remember, so I didn't tell my parents that there was like a wedding at the end. I just said it was like a dating show until like the day before I was supposed to go on the show. Cause I was like, I should probably, like, just in case I make it, they should probably know about this.
Yeah.
Right.
For real.
Next time you see me, I'll be engaged. Yeah. And yeah, we're going straight into a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really funny though, because I remember like having the conversation with my mom, and I was so nervous to have it. Cause I knew her reaction would be like, over my dead body, are you getting married on TV? Like, are you crazy? So anyways, I'm like, okay, so mom, there's like this little big factor I left out of everything. I was like, so I know I told you that there could be like an engagement, but yeah, we actually have to get like do a wedding. And she, like, her response was so unexpected. She was like, well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And like, who knows? Like, it's okay. I mean, that's fine. And I was like, I literally turned to her and I was like, do you want grandchildren that bad, mom?
Are you that desperate? Like, that's great.
Are you that desperate? She's like, you just never know. I mean, in like, you know, you're getting older now. It's like, whatever, however it's supposed to happen is how it's supposed to happen. And I'm like, well, yeah, but.
So walk us through a little bit there at the beginning of the show. You're talking to somebody through basically, you know, a wall, basically.
Yeah, you start in a pod.
Yeah, right? Pod, right, yeah. It's just crazy. I love it though. Like, I'm so interested.
Yeah, the timeline of the show is incredible. Pod, vacation, move into an apartment, meet the parents, yeah, get married.
Yeah. So how long were you guys actually in the pod?
Because all this happens in a month, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, technically.
Wow.
A little bit. I mean, the whole filming process was 7 weeks, but that last week, the seventh week, were like all of our weddings. So technically it was, gotcha, like 6+ a day.
Okay. Yeah.
So pod life.
Pod life.
It was, I think it was like 8 or 9 days that we were actually in the pods. Okay. And we had, most of the time, we had series of datings per day. So it's so the first few days, like, everybody does this, like, it's speed dating. You're technically speed dating, but you just can't see the person. Cause I think we had 7 minutes the first day with everybody. And that 7 minutes for some was a very long time. Otherwise it was real short. Like, it felt like a minute, but yeah. So it was like 7 minutes. And then like at nighttime we would do like another like speed dating round.
Oh, okay.
I know you guys probably like picked up on this, but like a lot of the girls were dressed up and the guys were like not so much. Or
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they told us to obviously like dress up or whatever. So we did, although we couldn't see anybody.
Yeah,
But you know, whatever. So yeah, we dressed up, but then like at nighttime, obviously we could just like wear whatever we wanted to and just like loungewear or something. So yeah. But, yeah. So it was, yeah, it was intense. It was really, it's crazy because yeah, like you see like everyone getting proposed to online and it's like a matter of like an episode.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, you really did. I mean, you could tell, I think maybe by like the third day, think about this. Like if I had like 2 dates with you in 1 day and then the next day I also had 2 dates, like that's already 4 dates. Like, the average person doesn't go on 4 dates in 48 hours. You know,
nope.
That may be 1 a week. That could be a whole month goes by before you have fourth date with someone. So yeah, so it was just like collapse time dating basically. And so by like day like 3, we really did have like, we knew who we were connecting with. We knew who we weren't connecting with. And we knew like where things were going.
Mm-hmm. You honestly probably spent more time with the person you're dating than I did with like Becca on The Bachelorette. Yeah. Honestly, like, it's crazy. Like, our show is crazier than Love is Blind, to be completely honest. Like, to think, if you really think about the time actually spent together.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Because you guys spend a decent amount of time and have a lot of conversations, you know?
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of conversations. And like I said, I mean, in the time length. So, you know, I guess you would say it was like process of elimination as the days went by. So if we started with like 10 guys by the end, obviously by the end, you're only talking to 3 guys. And so your time of your date gets longer. So that 7 minutes winds up being, I think our longest date time was like an hour and a half that we had with like one person.
Okay. And like you said, the conversations, obviously, like you skip the BS, you know, you kind of go to like the serious stuff because you know kind of what you're getting into. You like the show is like, you're supposed to like, at the end of the day, you're supposed to be engaged and married at the end of this. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's interesting because there were multiple ones that I was having more surface level conversations with. And I obviously, as you guys know now, like I'm a deeper person. And because of that whole like personal development journey that I had already gone on, like I was just already becoming more self-aware. And I knew like vulnerability is just like the key to like a good relationship. And so I was like, this guy is keeping it so surface level. Like he's never going to go deep with me. Like this isn't going to work.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. And I want to get into first moment when you're like, you know, you get out of the pot and everything. So let's get into that right after this. Basically, you've been talking 8 or 9 days now, you know, you've been talking to guys and you're in this pod life is what you called it, which I love. And what was that moment like when you finally got to see like the person on the other side of that wall?
Ooh, it was so intense. Okay. So backstory on that, Kenny and I, like, basically like we were called to like do our like final reveal and we got pumped twice before we even got to see each other.
Wait, what? What does that mean?
Yes. So we were like standing there and like, we're in separate rooms. Obviously there's like that red carpet between us and the doors opening and stuff. And like Vanessa Lachey and like the camera, the director, producer girl, she was like, okay, the next time that something happens, like we're going to leave the room, but the next time something happens, like those doors in front of you are going to open. You're going to see him. You're going to run out there and do your thing. And I was like, okay. So I'm standing there. I am shaking, like absolutely shaking, knees sweating, but cold at the same time. I didn't even know what was going on in my head, all these kinds of emotions. And I like, honestly, the first thing that came to my head was like, what if I'm not physically attracted to this man? You're going to be able to tell on my face.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to tell. Holy shit. Terrifying. Like, I think I was more worried about that.
You're just like, oh man, like on your face, you know, like that would be hard. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which we did see that with Jessica and Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Mark.
Yeah. So I was like standing there shaking and it was like a solid, probably like minute and a half or 2 minutes even like went by. And I'm just like, oh my God, one of these doors going to go open. Anyways, all of a sudden the door like behind me opens and like Vanessa walks in and she's like, I'm so sorry. She's like, they're like, we have to like, I think they're having like camera issues or something. Right. So I was like, okay, like,
just kidding.
So I was like, okay, I can like decompress for a second. I'm cool. And then she was like, okay, we're like rolling again. So we go back up there and I start shaking again, not as aggressively, but I'm shaking again. The door opens up again from the backside. And they were like, I'm so sorry. We have to cut for lunch. I was like,
no.
So a whole hour had to go by before I could meet him.
God.
I'm surprised that I could eat though. Like, and I ate so much food that moment because I was like, I'm so hungry.
Wow. But, I would be so mad.
Yeah. I was so like, angry. Oh my God. But it honestly, it like lessened my anxiety at that point. I was like, okay. So like the third time's a charm and right. The doors open. The doors did open. And I mean, honestly, initially, my initial reaction was like, I'm not like 100% attracted, like physically attracted to him, but he's attractive. Like he's a handsome man. Right.
Right.
And so anyways, we're like walking towards each other and I'm just like all smiles, giggling, uncomfortable, whatever. And yeah, I mean, it was like super sweet. So nice. Like he got down on a knee and like actually like had a ring and proposed and whatnot. And then he kissed me and I was like, oh, okay. You just got more attractive.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know. Go Kenny. Okay.
But yeah, it was like super sweet, but it was interesting because like we stood there for like, it was like a solid like 15 or 20 minutes that we had to just like have with each other. Mm. But it was so weird. Like we're the only people there and there's just like cameras and like the crew and stuff. I'm like, this is so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, that was the initial reaction and that was it.
Yeah. So you talked about kind of about producers. I don't know how much you can get into it, but were they really hands-on like throughout the, or was it kind of, cause some reality television shows, they just step back and let you guys like real life is crazier than fake, you know, or right. Were they kind of like hands-on with you guys?
No, they were definitely, I mean, they may have like encouraged a particular like conversation topic for us to dive into, but where we took it, anything, I mean, obviously nothing was scripted. Yeah, they let us do whatever and
okay.
So it was real.
Yeah, it was real. Exactly. Yeah. I like that. That's good to hear though.
Yeah.
So at this point you go on your vacation and everything. And then, so you guys had a strong connection obviously in the pod and then throughout. Was there any moment where you were like, this might happen, you know, or was that like a moment for you? Did you have one of those moments?
I did have those moments. I mean, Kenny and I were, I mean, he's very self-aware too. Okay. more than I was at that point. Now looking back, I'm like, he was like super aware of himself. So we had conversations about like, okay, well, like what if this doesn't pan out, then, you know, we're still like, we are attracted to each other. We like each other. Like, we won't just like continue dating. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like where we were at with everything. But as the weeks progressed, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't think I'm going to, like, I'm not going to marry him. I don't think I want to do it this way. You know, like, I do need more time. But as the weeks got closer to our, like, wedding, I was like, maybe I could marry him. Like, he's really? Definitely, like, checked off a bunch of boxes. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a stand-up guy. Our families got along. I mean, That was real key.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, you know, it was like, yeah, really huge. Yeah. My mom and his mom became like besties. It was like so cute.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, your mom, even like when you walked away from him and he was giving a speech at the altar, he was like, I actually like him.
I know. She really, really did. But yeah, so I mean, like probably, and even like the week of the wedding, I just was going back and forth in my head too. And obviously, like, we're having conversations with, like, production, and they're, like, really trying to, like, understand, like, well, if you're leaning more towards no, like, why? Mm-hmm. And then, like, well, why? And honestly, I just was not in love with him at that point. I hadn't gotten there, and we didn't have the opportunity to get there. But,
right. Before, yeah, I mean, quick. Yeah, it's pretty fast. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was loving the man that I was getting to know, but I was not in love with him yet. And that's why I was like, my head, I just kept telling production, I was like, my head and my heart are not connecting. Something's not there. Something's off. And I can't go through with this. So until I, like, said I'm not in love with him, like, it was kind of like a interrogation in a sense. Yeah, of like, right, hey, but yeah. Why? Mm-hmm. But why?
Yeah.
Would you have talked to Kenny, or if it wasn't for seeing, like, if you would have seen him?
Like in real life, basically?
Like in real life, like if you were just out and about, like, would you be like, that's my kind of guy, or?
I don't think so.
No.
Uh-uh. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I said this on the show too, but I was just always attracted to like tall, dark brunettes. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have always been that way. But yeah, I just know. And I think that's like why, like when I first saw him, I was like, okay, like he's a handsome, attractive man, but I'm not actually.
Your type, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't a type.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's interesting though, like when we were in the pods, Kenny and I did not reveal like what we look like to each other. I think a couple of people may have given like one clue or something, but we never did. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because of Southern accent, charm, I don't know, but I just like, I actually did picture like a tall blonde, like Southern gentleman, like, I don't know, like a guy from Charleston.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Interesting. Sometimes without seeing somebody, you just hear him on the phone or something, you obviously get an idea of what that person looks like, or on the radio. I think that's a good example. Like you think, you know what the DJ is like on the radio, but then you meet him in real life. They're like the complete opposite. But for you, it was kind of, you almost nailed it. I mean, you almost got it right. Yeah.
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 I don't know how. That's good intuition. Impressive.
Yeah. It's interesting though, that like even that week of the wedding, you were kind of going back and forth, because that would be really hard. Like I remember the week of my, you know, the proposal, like I obviously was all the way in, but like just the anxiety of like not knowing if she was hard. I can't imagine being where you were like, I don't even know if I want to, you know, like that would be super hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I knew that had we gotten married, like I knew that we would have probably been fine and had a wonderful relationship, but yeah, I think just like those, like just that little inner voice going, something's off, just kept me from not doing it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I mean, obviously that was the right decision, because it seems like, I mean, he's now engaged, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. Yeah. Like you said earlier, you both grew from the experience and everything. And now obviously, you know, you're better off for it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what was it like once it aired for you? Were like, what, do you remember the first moment you like got recognized and stuff like that? Like, do you remember that?
First time I got recognized, yes, I think I was, because obviously like pandemic happened, like right after the show aired.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think if I went any. Oh, yes. Okay. I was actually on it. Well, it was a date, but long story. I was on a date. And yeah, I'm like sitting at the bar with my date and this guy's sitting next to me. Anyways, and we're just like, all of a sudden we like turn, start talking to the guy. And then he was like,
no,
are you the, and I was like, yeah, I am.
While you were on a date, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like my date, like obviously just like lost it. He was like, this is great.
That's great. That's a pretty cool story.
That was the first time I got recognized. But like outside of that, I think I went to like go pick up food, like, you know, to go because all the restaurants shut down and they were doing like outside seating and this like group. I guess I was like waiting in line and like one of the husbands like walked up to me and he was like, our wives recognize you. Would you mind coming over to our table? And I was like, yeah, okay. They're like, you must get this all the time. And I was like, y'all, we've been locked up for 4 weeks. Like, yeah. I don't get anything.
Yeah. That's like, so, yeah. Yeah. Because like normally you probably would have been doing events. You would have been doing appearances. You would have been doing like all kinds and you just didn't get that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
So, yeah. That is a super, I mean, I'm sure it'll come back. Hopefully you'll be able to do that eventually. But yeah, when did it finish? Because Netflix dropped it all at once, right? Yeah, then so people could binge it, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, they released 4 episodes a week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did it finish? When was like the last week of it airing?
It's like the end of February. So they launched it February 13th. And I think it was that last week of February or the week or the like first week of March, something like that.
Wow. So right before quarantine.
Yeah. Literally. And then it ended like right when it was started. Quarantine started. Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. Wow. I feel so bad for you guys.
Yeah.
Backtracking, because I have a question like about the wedding thing.
Yeah.
Were you able, would you have been able to break it off prior to that scene, or did you have to wait to like say yes or no at the altar?
We kind of had to say it at the altar.
Gotcha.
That was like one of the things that like, you know, we were getting hate for. It's like, you waited all this time, like, you bitch. Obviously I would never do that.
Right.
His emotion was so raw. He was like, oh shit. But he did take it like a champ. He took it very well. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he did. Like I said, he's very self-aware.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are still friends now, right? You and Kenny?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't like talk because
right. You're acquaintances.
But yeah, I mean, we're friendly. Yeah, we're friendly. Nothing but respect for each other.
That's pretty cool. So, and then obviously, you kind of just mentioned it a little bit, but you couldn't travel or anything. But obviously, like on social media, you got a really large following and platform. And obviously, you did. I'm sure, just like every other reality TV star out there, you got some criticism and you get the haters and the trolls and all that. And I always find it interesting because everybody kind of has a different method or strategy, you know, in dealing with that. Like what was one of the methods that you used to deal with some of the hate, you know, that I'm sure you got online?
Yeah. I would say one thing that just like helped me with my anxiety a little bit. I mean, granted I was like checking my phone every 5 seconds, but, so I don't know how well this helped, but I did turn off like the notifications for like all of my social media, like the week before it even aired, just so I could like get comfortable with that, and kind of took like 3 days off of social media before it aired too, just kind of get my mind right.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But I mean, not always, but since I started things, you know, my little spiritual journey a few years ago, I've always been like really big into like journaling and meditation, just kind of honing in on myself, going like connecting with nature, like going outside, hiking, like whatever I need to do to like tune inward. So, I mean, one of the biggest things, like, I think I had a lot of friends that were sticking up to me in the comments.
Yeah, that's always nice to have.
Yeah. But I was like, y'all are just triggering it. Like, just don't pretend it's not there, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, like you don't get to read all the comments, and I wasn't trying to, but of course, yeah, I would see like a couple, like, how dare you, you know, when things turned, and then messages as well. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like for some, I didn't even like delete the message. I just block the person.
Oh, I am so heavy on the block button. I block so fast. One bad thing, I'm like, blocked.
Yeah. And like, get that negative energy out of my life. I don't need it. So as far as though, like, yes, of course, like I'm still human and I have emotions. Like I would get triggered because of course I just want to like retaliate and like say something terrible or tell them like, no, you don't even know what happened. Like, get out of here, you know? But I would literally just like respond to some people like, please choose kindness on my page and just throw up a heart.
There you go. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. And, and it does work because I know a lot of times I'd get a nasty DM or some or a message and I just simply comment back. And sometimes they're like, oh my God, I didn't think you'd see this. Like, I'm sorry. I'm having a bad day. You know, something like that, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And that did happen a couple of times too. So
yeah.
Like, it's cool.
Because sometimes they forget, like, we're real humans. Like, we're not characters, you know? Like, we're not a character on television show or an actor. Like, we're real humans and people forget that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I know. There were definitely a couple of times. I think I did send someone like a video response once.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever done that.
she got me on the day she shouldn't have been saying what she said. Yep.
That's great. So I want to get into what you do now because I love your page and how positive you are and how much you help people. So we're going to get into that right after this. You go through your whole experience on Love is Blind, you know, and you get your platform and you use this platform, which I love. What is it? You're a
mindset coach.
Mindset coach. I love that. Like, explain what that is exactly.
Well, I'll tell you the backstory so it'll make sense. But so right after we got done filming Love is Blind, like I said, Kenny and I had the conversation that whatever happens, like, we were going to continue dating. Thought that that was still the case. Mm-hmm. And literally like the next day after filming ended, he was just like, again, him being self-aware, he was like, I'm not in this anymore. I'm emotionally unavailable. I need to like get back to real life, like get back in my career, like just figure life out again kind of thing. And honestly, the conversation was in the matter of like 5 minutes. I didn't have time to process what he said. So like I heard him, but I was just like, all I heard was like, kind of like rejection.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just felt like extremely rejected and okay, so he doesn't want me just like every other guy hasn't wanted me.
All the past trauma started coming up. Yeah,
exactly. I was like pissed. Anyways, so a few weeks later, I had met prior, like earlier that year, a business and mindset coach. And I just like really loved her page and like what she was talking about. We had connected further, like in the, you know, in real life actually. But I reached out to her. I was like, okay, like I'm not in a good place. Like my brain is mush. I haven't worked in 7 weeks. I don't have any clients right now. Like now I have no like income basically. And I feel like my life is spiraling out of control and this is not okay. So I was like, maybe if I just like go all in my like health coaching business, everything will, you know, just turn up, you know, right. So, I hired her like a few weeks afterwards and I had the most incredible, like breakthroughs of my life. Like it was like therapy, which I've only ever been to therapy one time. So, but what I would think therapy would be, this is like how I thought it would be.
Right.
So she just like had me like go back through like, you know, ask basically like what mindset coaching is to my degree of how I do it, is asking, like really helping people to understand like their limiting beliefs and their fears and their stories that have created behavioral patterns through their life. So like when it comes to like love, dating, relationships, and like, you know, when the girl is like, oh my God, I keep dating like the worst guys, like every guy is just shit. You know, they just keep saying those things. And it's like, it's not the guy, it's you. Yep. So there's something inside of the girl that has not been healed. It has not been processed. And that's why she keeps attracting the same guy over and over, because she has not healed the like actual deep rooted story from that. Gotcha. So I take them like back as far as we can go to whatever deep rooted story it is. And we start to heal the like energy basically inside the body. And we start to debunk all the stories and the limiting beliefs and form new ones. So like redesigning her like blueprint, redefining what certain things mean in life. And then she can start actually start taking aligned action into like who she wants to be, what she wants to attract, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like therapy. I think just it's a little more hands-on and like, it's not just like a 2-hour thing, you know, once a week. Right. Like it sounds like it's a lot more hands-on than therapy, but it sounds similar to like finding that past trauma and finding the reason you think this way and fixing that or going back and thinking about that. So it's got to feel good to be able to have breakthroughs with clients. Like that's got to be so fulfilling.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. I mean, literally, I had a coaching call like right before this, we hopped on the podcast, and I did. Like, that is exactly what I do with the client. I was like, why are you, because I work with like single female entrepreneurs mostly. So I was like, okay, like she launched a program, and I was like, why, you know, how are you showing up? And she's like, well, you know, people aren't buying yet, but you know, it's a pandemic, people can't afford it. And I was like, no, people are spending money. If they had to like get a new tire tomorrow, they'd drop money to go get a new tire on their car. Like, you're not creating the emotional connection with your audience, and that's why they're not buying from you. And I was like, so what's the block? So I literally started like backtracking, like, okay, was there a time that, you know, maybe like a relationship that you went through that it didn't work out the way you wanted it to? And she was like, yeah. And so we like talked all about that. And then like, basically, long story short, we like rooted it back to the fact she lost a grandfather and an aunt within like the same month. So she had like no control of that. She also like she had a particular hobby, and she stopped doing the hobby because the grandpa used to come do like watch her perform all the time. And now he's no longer there. So now she has no hobby. She was like, I felt like I had no identity. Like I lost my identity completely. And I was like, okay. So she started like looking for external factors to fill the void inside of her. She was like working all the time. She went like hard and aggressive into like school and college. And then, like I said, she was like serial dating guys because she was just like looking for the external factor. So I was like, All of these things are because of that loss. You lost control of, you didn't have control of that situation. Like your family members passed away. You had no control, but you have tried to control things moving forward in life. Well, if I just do this, then this will happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, and even like in a recent relationship, she was just like holding on to it. She was like, well, what if he comes back around? What if he comes back around? I was like, that's still trying to control the situation, still trying to control that relationship. Like, just let it go. And if it does come back around, it will.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Damn. I might hire you to set mine right.
Do you talk to Madden?
Yeah, right.
Because I need a session.
I got you guys.
That's obviously really cool. And that's really cool what you've been able to do with your platform and helping people and everything. Like I said, I love how positive you are and everything you do. And it's a good follow. She's a good follow, guys. What is your Instagram?
Chase Life with Kelly.
Yes, Chase Life with Kelly, guys. Go check her out on Instagram.
Which is also the podcast as well, right?
Yes, you just started a podcast. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Three episodes in,
launching. It should be one, like every Monday, it should launch like a new episode. So.
Perfect. And that's called Chasing Life with Kelly too, right?
Yeah, Chase Life with Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Chase Life with Kelly. That's awesome. Yeah.
We're going to have to dive into the Bachelor talk.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see that. Yeah. You're a fan. Cause I want to know what you think about this season and everything. First of all, yeah. How do you think Matt's doing as a Bachelor?
I think he's doing really well. I don't know his like complete backstory, but I think he's doing really, really well. He is like, I think I was watching like Caitlin's Instagram earlier the other day, and she was like, he's just really nice. He's too nice.
I know, he's super nice.
He's so nice. But yeah, no, I think he is doing well. I mean, I think it's just like, it's kind of sometimes like hard to tell like right now, because it's like all the girls just like fighting over his attention and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to like get to know him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when it always, like the drama always happens the first like, you know, 3-4 episodes, and then we start getting into like a little serious, more serious conversations and things like that. So maybe we'll get to know him a little bit, but I agree. I think he's doing a great job. He's a little nice. There's not much edge to Matt, you know, like I think he's just like, what you see is what you get. He's a super nice guy, genuine guy, but yeah, you know, I don't think he'd be called a bad boy by any means, you know, by anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite girls so far this season?
Honestly, I think, the girls that you have posted on your story, I'm like, well, those, I mean, they just seem like the most like genuine, real people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This season, I feel like we've gotten to know we've gotten to know Victoria pretty well. She got a lot of screen time, but we've gotten to know, really know, like, I think like 4 or 5 girls. And I think those 4 or 5 girls are fantastic. I think they'll make it pretty far.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Abigail, Rachel, Sarah.
Abigail,
and Bree. Bree, too. I like Bree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who would be your number one if you had to pick one right now for Matt? Who would that be? I know it's like 2 episodes in, so it's hard.
Yeah. Honestly, I think just because they have had the connection from the beginning, I think Abigail. Just because she, I don't know. They're just, maybe they're just nice together.
They're just two very nice people.
Yeah. Nice.
They're just two really, really nice people that like, yeah, have great conversations. No, yeah. I think right now I would, that's who I would say right now. We'll see how far she makes it. I think she might calm down. She's got to, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I would think so. Unless something crazy happens. Yeah. You never know.
One thing that we didn't talk on our recap, which maybe we should talk about here. Did you notice Matt being an open eye kisser?
Yeah, he is an open-eyed kisser.
So creepy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you should watch because I've seen it multiple. And I saw him like chirp himself a little bit on Instagram, like saying, I know.
I wonder why.
I don't know because I think it's super weird. Like, I understand like making out with your eyes closed and then like opening them and then closing. But he's just like, he's, you know, he's like allied out there. Like, it is pretty funny. It's pretty funny to see.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. He probably doesn't even know what he's doing. He's probably like, the cameras are on me, so I got to keep my eyes open.
That honestly might be it though. Or like, he's like, am I doing this right? Cause like, you know, everybody's like looking at him. Like, am I, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Like,
never done this before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is kind of interesting. That's a good way to look at it actually. Yeah. So Abigail right now is your favorite, which I think she's most people's favorite right now.
Yeah.
I would agree.
This is cute.
Awesome. Well, we got some questions for you from some listeners because a lot of people just want to dig into you. It's so funny, you know, all of us go on the show and we just get a glimpse of like who we are as people, you know? And so I had a phone call with a guy from, I guess it's Claire Antasia season. It's hard because when you first get off the show, people expect you to be a certain way or a certain person. And then if you're not, they kind of get a little angry with you. And I'm like, over time, what'll happen is you're going to build, you know, a platform where you build on Instagram. It'll be people who are following you for you. They're not going to be following you because you're Blake from The Bachelorette or Kelly Chase from Love is Blind. They're going to be following you because of who you are and what you can, you know, what you give them. So it's kind of cool to be given a platform, but then it's even cool to also like build on that platform, you know?
Totally.
And we got a lot of people in the DMs asking, got quite a few actually. We kind of talked about how you kind of dealt with criticism and everything. And has it gotten better for you as far as like, you know, criticism or because people ask me that question. I'm like, yeah, because I blocked everybody. So like, I don't have very many people in my DMs or comments anymore, you know? But has it gotten better for you? Like as time goes on, or do you still occasionally get, you know, an occasional troll in there?
Maybe an occasional troll. Like it's like, yeah, like I'll see all of a sudden like a comment on a picture I posted from back in like March, you know, like on the show, and how could you do that to him? Like, you know, things like that. No, like I totally disregard it now. Like back then it like affected me, but like now I don't. I think the biggest thing, and maybe you can speak to this too, but you know, really learning to like stay in your lane as far as like what you know. meaning I have not that I'm not a political person by any means. I literally just voted for the first time this year ever in my life. But if I even just say one thing, that's when like people can send the DMs and it's like, oh, you're like this supporter or you're, oh, you like, I don't know. And that's like what rocks me right now. I'm like, y'all, this is not up for discussion. We're not having a debate. I just, with voicing my thought, one thought, don't attack me.
And I think one thing that I've learned over, stay in your lane is a good way to put it because it's like, don't necessarily listen to what I say. I fell in love on TV. That's why you know me. It's not because like I'm a political analyst, even physical fitness. Like I'm not a personal trainer, you know, like the only reason you follow me probably is because, you know, I fell in love on TV. So you're not going to make everybody happy. Like somebody is always going to be mad at you no matter what you post about, you know,
totally.
And that's like a hard truth that I've kind of come to learn over the time.
Yeah.
What is dating like for you now? After the show, because I mean, I know it's COVID right now and quarantine and like, that's a whole nother thing, but like, has it become easier to date now? Has it become harder? Is it just a lot changed for you? How's that?
Full transparency. The guy that I had been on the date with when the first fan recognized me, whatever. We still like did a thing, I guess we're in a relationship, but not,
right,
you know, just dancing around a relationship. Yeah. We were dancing around a relationship. We were COVID boyfriend, girlfriend for, you know, COVID.
We call that a situationship, you know?
A situationship, yeah. We enjoyed spending time together. But just knowing like where I was at, I mean, I launched a whole program about like girls being more in their boundaries and like understanding their dating behaviors and all of this. And I was like, okay, I'm obviously not like fully stepping into my boundaries with this situation. Like, this guy's not ready to be with me. I need to let it go. And so, yeah, in the end of August, we actually like, I mean, we haven't talked since August. Gotcha. So Yeah. Which I mean, honestly, like, yeah, I've like grieved the situation. I'm like sad about it, but also I have felt this like overwhelming, just like inner peace because I don't have to like deal with the bullshit anymore of him not fully showing up or, you know, whatever. So, and he's a great guy, like nothing bad about him. It just wasn't right. So, yeah, I don't know. I like started to kind of like get on like Bumble and Hinge. Cause I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's funny because like girls would be like, oh my God, like so many guys like sliding in your DMs. And I'm like, no. I think people, like, I don't know, you might have to edit this out. But I was like, I think people think I'm a lesbian. No. So, yeah, I mean, I did start like I said, like getting into like Bumble and Hinge. And I don't know. I just like wasn't like really, I think I had like a couple of like stimulating conversations, but then it just like fell away. Like, I think it was like around Thanksgiving or something. So
gotcha.
I don't know. It was just kind of interesting. And then the month of December, I remember, so I was trying to like quarantine myself as much as possible. So I live in Georgia. Like, we were the first state to like open everything.
Yeah. You guys were.
And we're still like as lenient as shit. Like, people are still at the bars. Like, it's crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways, though, my parents obviously wanted me to come home for Christmas and actually like spend the night and like stay for like the whole week or whatever. And so I was like, okay, I'll quarantine pretty much the whole month of December. So there were a couple guys that like, hey, let's go grab a drink or something. I'm like, sorry. Like, I'm like actually locking myself in my house for the next month. And I was like, but like, I wasn't going to be like, hey, I like fell in love kind of on a TV show where I like didn't even see the guy for 9 days. So do you think like this could work? Like, can we just like have like phone call conversations?
Well, the old days when you used to just talk on the phone before. Yeah.
Or now, like, we have FaceTime cocktails.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I made the proposal and like a couple of guys were like, yeah, okay, like that's never going to work. And then like, a couple were like, no, totally respect that. But then like, they never reach back out. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like everything, like obviously it happens as it's supposed to. I was starting my podcast. So I was like serial interviewing like a bunch of guests and stuff. And like, I actually went back and got like a 9-to-5 job last summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm like coaching and working 9-to-5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you're a hustler. I've realized that about you. You are a hustler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I try not to, like, that's where I was like my whole 20s. So I was like, okay, I'm not falling back into that like same behavioral pattern. So I do make sure that I like go for like walks and I exercise and like I have my me time still, which is before, I don't know if I was really doing that stuff, but yeah, I am a hustler.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the one thing that people like forget about is like, cause they are worried about hustling so much and working, and they don't take time for themselves. And that can like seriously affect the rest of your life and the other aspects of your life. And people don't realize that. Yeah. So you, again, being self-aware, look at you being self-aware.
I know. My mom, like, I did actually, okay, crazy enough. I was that Monday before Christmas, I was going to go get a COVID test just so that, you know, cause I had to like go to work like every other day. So I was like in the office every other day. So I am around people there, but like otherwise I was like socially distanced.
Right.
Anyway, so I was going to get a COVID test that Sunday before. I started feeling like kind of weird. Like I had a headache and just kind of a little bit of low energy, nothing like paralyzing, but just a little low energy. And I woke up Monday, still had the headache. And I was like, this is weird, but whatever. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I have been overdoing it. But yeah, I got tested positive for COVID. And like, my mom was like, God damn it. Like, we're like planning the whole Christmas and you're not here. Yeah. So that kind of sucks, but it was literally like my symptoms. That was it. Low energy and a headache for 2 days. And by the time I had got my results from the test I took on Monday, like everything was gone.
Yeah.
And then I got 2 negative tests in a row, like right after that.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting. Mm.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, did I have it for 2 weeks before and I just never had symptoms?
Right. Right.
Like, I don't know. It's like super weird, but I don't know where I was going with that story, but.
Well, no, but I'm glad you're like feeling better and everything. Yeah. No long-term effects or any of that stuff.
So I finally like went home. I did my like quarantine still. And I went home this past weekend and, you know, I'm just having like stimulating conversations with my parents now. Like, they're definitely a lot more deep than ever before. And my mom's like, Kelly, I think you're going to have to like meet someone that like is involved in what you do. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to meet someone that's like having just only surface level conversations with
me. Exactly. Yeah. So I want to get into that a little bit. Like, what have you learned about yourself through the whole experience? You know, because like, you obviously were very self-aware going in, but like, have you learned something super important about yourself and like what you want in a relationship through the whole experience?
Definitely just, I mean, two things, I guess. I mean, one of the bigger lessons was like, when you think you've communicated with someone, communicate even more if you have any assumption, any question, any doubt. Like, ask them the next question. Even if it's 3 days later and you're still like, okay, this, yeah, like, I'm still not clear.
Something I need. I need more self-aware of that, because I need to do that more. Like, when you think you communicate, you need to communicate more, because if you're still, like you said, if you're still questioning, which I question all the time, like I'm an overthinker. Like, it's like, just talk to them, just communicate, you know? So,
yeah. And I mean, I say that just because, like I said, I thought like Kenny and I were going to date afterwards, and there was a red flag. There was, and I think majority of us, we don't look at those red flags. We don't see the red flags as much because we don't want to see them, because we want things to work out, and, you know, we want things to be great and awesome. And, you know, it's just like one thing, like your gut will tell you a lot. So my gut did. It was like, that was weird. But I was just like, I bypassed it. And that was me not, like, I was aware of it, but I was still playing into those old behaviors of just bypassing, basically. Right. Yeah. But I mean, I would say that, communicate even more. And then just like vulnerability. I mean, I'm a very vulnerable person. I'm extremely transparent and raw. I mean, I remember like, even before the show, I mean, people that have been like friends of mine that have been following me for a while now, you know, since Instagram started, they're always like, Kel, I think you're just being a little too raw. Like, you're being a little too transparent. Like, not everybody needs to know every detail of your life, kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I don't know. Sometimes like I just feel called to like talk about some things, or if I'm going through a hard time, like I'll share about it. Mm-hmm, and I've cried multiple times on my Instagram and like Facebook and stuff. Like, I'm like, 'cause that's real. Like, it doesn't need to be like a highlight reel, you know, but I just love vulnerability. I love being vulnerable. And I actually had a conversation with Caitlin, on Monday, and we were kind of talking about the same thing. And I was like, you know, was like Jason a, like, is he like an over communicator like you are? 'Cause that's what she referred to herself as. And she was like, no, actually, like, no, he wasn't. And she goes, and I said, I go, it's either like the person is going to be on your playing level, or they're going to want to be on your playing level. Mm. And she was like, and that's pretty much where Jason was. Like, he was like, I have made him more vulnerable and open up and things like that. And so I thought that was like really cool. 'Cause yeah, I'm like, I don't want to change anybody. If you're not ready to be vulnerable and communicate really, then that's okay. You're just not there in your journey yet. And you may never be, but that's probably not going to work out for me.
The only reason I started to get vulnerable is because of the show. Otherwise I probably would never have gotten to where I am now, where I can like talk openly, you know? So
it made I mean, and I'll, you know, share this with you. Like, I think that, like, I loved you on the show because I was like, he's vulnerable. Like, I mean, obviously you cried, like you were a
couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. But like, I just, and honestly too, like my dad is a very emotional, like vulnerable person. And I think like, I always just like love that about my dad. So when a guy can express his emotions, I'm like, I love you.
And that's good to hear, because I think like, slowly our society is moving towards that, and our culture is moving towards more embracing that in men rather than just the whole macho toxic masculinity type thing. So that's cool to hear, Kelly. I'm glad you liked me on the show.
Yeah,
I know. Well, thank you so much. This has been great, Kelly. And go listen to her podcast, guys. Just from this little bit, I feel like I've learned a lot from just this podcast. So today I even threw up something on my Instagram today that was like, I need to listen to some podcasts like inspiring and empowering. I'm going to listen to yours now, because that's going to be a good one when I work out. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm here trying to take notes of the show and what you're saying this whole time.
That's great. I can't wait to listen to her back. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
Yeah, we'd love to have you again sometime, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, we'll have to do a recap.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're a big Bachelor fan. We'll do a recap sometime.
Yeah, cool. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world-famous Grizzly Rose, or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.